Now, the richness of our natural world and the fact that it constantly changes offers real inspiration to people who are relatively new to creative writing. Focusing in on the natural environment can produce some very surprising results. Edinburgh's Southside Community Centre Writing Group occasionally venture out of the city to the Pentlands Regional Park for a special workshop with the rangers there. I joined them at Boghall Farm as they began their guided walk.
My name's Helen Bowden and I'm a writer and creative writing tutor. And what we're doing today is going round the area of Boghall Farm to get some inspiration for writing. Susan, the ranger, will be giving some interpretation of the site and some information so people can jot down words and ideas, images and come up that they may use later. Then I will actually do a writing exercise, which is about writing and walking and connection with the environment, which may give some people something slightly more specific. And then when we go back in, there'll be time for them to write and we'll look at the results. So basically it's just a sort of slightly structured way of drawing inspiration from the environment.
It's strange. I mean, we spend so much time in the outdoors, exposed to the environment and nature and everything else. And one of the participants today said round the table, "I don't really do nature." It kind of rocked me back because I thought, we're just off the A702, you know, but this is a big difference for some people.
Yeah, I find that absolutely fascinating as somebody who facilitates writing groups in an urban environment, because we have this 200-year history at least of poets and writers being inspired by the landscape. Mm-hmm. And I take that as a given as somebody who grew up in a semi-rural area and has always gone out the city every weekend to walk and walk every couple of weeks in the Pentlands. But what I find is if you bring a group out here, the numbers can deplete. If you're doing a writing course in something like an art gallery, it oversubscribes. And so I think there's maybe a shift in perception that we are becoming more urban, or nature is maybe seen as less as a given source of inspiration. Yeah.
I thought I'd just stop and point out a couple of things here. This rather striking blue flower, I've misidentified it actually from last time when Helen and I were out here, and I called it brook lime. And brook lime has got a brilliant scientific name. It's called Veronica beckabunga. And people are frightened by scientific names in Latin and all that kind of stuff, but you know, who could forget Veronica beckabunga? And I think that actually generated quite a lot of interest from the creative writers last time, because it's such a great name. My name's Susan Falconer and I'm the senior ranger here at the Pentland Tools Regional Park. My involvement here today is really to just try and interpret some of the things that we're seeing on our walk and point out a few things that are of interest to me, and hopefully will provide some sort of inspiration to the writers that are in the group.
Do you find it surprising how detached some people are from the countryside, how, you know, from the rural experience, from what you might describe, of course, everywhere is an environment, but from the rural environment?
I think so, yes. I mean, I'm always amazed that people coming out, it's not that I would expect them to know lots of names of plants or really be completely engaged with everything, but people seem to me sometimes are walking along with their eyes closed and, you know, they're not noticing the beauty around them, or perhaps they're finding it difficult to express that. And I think there is a certain amount of detachment from, you know, getting out there, getting muddy, getting wet, getting dirty. And one of the things as a ranger service we're keen to do is to get people out and engaging with the countryside in, I suppose, different ways, not just the traditional get out there and walk, but also to be creative, to be actually looking and caring for the landscape that they're seeing around them. And by doing that, by noticing things, by engaging quite closely, I think that builds up a sort of special relationship for people. We're just at the start of this little woodland walk here, and we'll just start to make our way up over the bridge, so just take care on the steps.
Ranger Susan Falconer there, and we'll hear more from that group shortly.
I just want to stop here because this is one of my favourite places, for no other reason than it's very, very atmospheric, and I just love looking at the bark on these trees. It's not just the leaves as well. I think at this time of year, when all the the leaves are starting to turn colour. Of course, people's attention is focused on the leaves, but I think the bark can be missed out, and particularly beech trees. They always remind me of elephant legs. I've got this image in my mind of, it's, you know, a thick, chunky, this grey sort of tough skin on the outside. It does just remind me of an elephant's skin. And just a beautiful little walkway here. I really love it. In terms of sort of texture, one of the things I do with school children is to get them to meet a tree, and they, you know, a bit of tree hugging, literally, and getting them just to appreciate the texture of the tree, the texture of the bark. Not, as I say, not just looking at the leaves, but also, you know, the whole of the tree. Look at the size of it, looking up at the branches, looking at how thick it's grown, at the smell of the tree as well. It engages all your senses.
I think that's obviously really important from the point of view of writers to engage the senses. So that sense of texture is something to think about, how actually to represent that in writing. And also we can hear the sound of the wind in the trees. We're working on this loose theme of the elements, the earth and the air, and to think actually about how to transcribe and represent the sounds that trees are making, I think is probably quite an interesting thing to do as writers.
Mm. We were talking earlier about the seasons, mm-hmm. and the voice of trees changes at this time of year. You know, it's a much softer noise in a windy day, yes, in the summertime than it is now, because the leaves are becoming harder and brittle.
Yes.
You know, so it stages senescence.
Yes, I think it is good just to take time out to stop and listen. I mean, often there's traffic and all sorts of other things in the background, but actually focusing in on particular sounds. I mean, there's no bird song at the moment. It's just the leaves.
I'm Olga.
You were the lady who said you don't really do nature. How are you finding this?
So far, it's fantastic. I feel so ashamed of myself because I've spent most of my life in Edinburgh, and this is the first time ever I have been out here. And it's just gorgeous. And I think just looking at the tree trunks, that has been fantastic. Looking at that, I'm getting all sorts of ideas for things to write about, and I think I'm going to be back.
What do you normally write about?
I normally write fiction, and I normally write about people. Having said that, I think this is possibly going to be about people, and I think Susan has just given me the perfect name for my heroine. But
I think a few people will be doing that.
Indeed so. I don't think that I'll ever get into Wordsworth territory, because I just don't think I'm as attuned to it as that. But this really is opening my eyes.
The writers are reaching the end of their guided walk with Ranger Susan Falconer and creative writing tutor Helen Bowden.
This is our final stop, and the path just continues here up the glen. You can see that hill there, which is Allermuir Hill. And we're just kind of at the foot of quite a long hill, which is Kirketon. And Kirketon is the face of the hill that, if you're in Edinburgh, that's what you see. You see the screes of Kirketon. Carrying on up this path would take us to a place called Windy Door Nick, very aptly named. It's either blowing a hoolie or really, really quiet, little bit of quiet and oasis. But then you come out of that and Edinburgh just simply opens up in front of you. It's tremendous. People are quite amazed that that's the sort of view that they're going to get. But you can see the landscape here. It just really starts to open out. These old shelter belts here, these sort of 19th century shelter belt system, a bit of heather moorland up on Woodhouse Lee Hill, which is the hill on the other side of the valley, but it just carries on up into a little kind of corrie up there. So really beautiful place.
Okay, so this is the furthest point we're coming to, and what I propose is we head back the way we came, incorporating a kind of walking meditation, which I will guide you in at the beginning and then let you find your own pace. So if you just sort of make yourself comfortable where you are now as much as you can, aware on your slope, and just be aware of your feet on the ground and the earth underneath you, and think about the texture. And that's something I quite like to think about as you're walking. Think about what you can hear. Dogs barking, there's bird song. What can you smell? Is there any sense of taste? And then finally sight, which does tend to be the most dominant of the senses, which is why it's quite interesting to play up the others, such as sound and sensation as writers. but again, have a good look around, take in any visual information that you think might be personally of interest to you that you want to use as a writer. And then if you travel back down your body, just maybe check in with your breath. We've climbed up the hill, so your heartbeat might be quite rapid. And feel the sensation of the breeze. The wind's getting up a wee bit. Remember, if we actually inspire air from the root of the word Latin, spiro, I breathe, inspiration literally comes from air. We give it back in speech, in the rhythms of our language. And down to your feet again. And again, that sense of soft, slightly damp earth. And then just in your own time, when you're ready, just start to move. And I'll just allow all of you just to walk back at your own pace. And then we'll go back and write for about 10 or 15 minutes and see what happens.
My name's Laura Black. And I think actually just to start with just being outdoors with a pen and paper, which is a bit of a rarity. So you're usually rushing around from one place to another. So just being able to write about the things that you're actually seeing right in front of your eyes.
Strange what Helen was talking about earlier, and she said, right, you know, breathe it in. Don't just use your eyes, use your ears as well, and taste it, smell it. You know, people who have been on long sea voyages talk about approaching land and smelling the land. And most of the time we don't smell the land, but I mean, if you actually stop and think about it, there is a definite earthy, damp smell here. I don't think it's just me.
No, I find when that's meditative thinking about it, when you breathe in and close your eyes, it actually makes your whole body feel alive and makes you think about your surroundings so much more. Whereas if you're fast-paced, kind of running around and don't really stop to think about things, no, you don't smell at all.
Back in the visitor centre at Boghall Farm in the Pentland Hills, the Southside Community Centre Writing Group had returned from their walk and they were now taking just 10 minutes to pen their creative impressions of the experience. Now, one thing that features in all of these is a tree we found with two hearts carved into it. Here's what Kate, Olga and Laura came up with.
See the Midlothian plain hiding its dark secrets. Behind it, the Moorfoots, a child's pop-up book of hills. Forget the autumn leaves. Keats and Shelley said it all. But see the tree trunk with its ivy leaf trousers, the rose hips, bright berries, and a heart carved deeply, dripping sap.
Veronica Bekabunga had come into the country to find solace. It was better than she had expected. The earth under her feet was springy, like the carpets in the Balmoral Hotel. The greens, golds and russets were so this season. Tree-hugging would be balm to her soul. She looked round for a suitable one. She didn't fancy the first with its lizard scales, or the next one, its bark fragile and flaky, exactly what she was determined not to be. The next tree was like an elephant's leg, smooth and sturdy and grey, but Veronica wanted to forget. It was then that she spotted the crude carving, two hearts. Two whole hearts, not one broken one. Sod the tree hugging, what she needed was a gin and tonic.
Wind sweeps between the leaves, leaves between the wind. Lift and swell, the branches creak, my feet flat to the earth. Pressing hard on a tree's bark, I impress my heart. Carving love to endure time, this larch bows to the wind. 20 years, five lovers on, there the heart keeps beating, and similar to our love gone, it weeps a fragrant resin.
Helen, I understand that that was probably quicker than you would normally do, but how did you find it?
Great, actually. I think there's something to be said sometimes for the compression, that it just... It literally does. It's like, I don't know, some concentrated juice or something. It gets the creative juices flowing. So I'd normally work obviously at a much more leisurely pace. But I think what happened there was the walk was quite leisurely, and Susan gave such brilliant information that people were able to amass that, and they had the stuff, they had the experience of being out there. So when it came to writing, they could just do it very quickly.
Is this to a certain extent a self-selecting process? Because people who want to be writers will come forward to a writing workshop, but could anybody do this?
Yes, I think absolutely. And one of the most fascinating things for me is people who come along who haven't got any experience. They can be quite nervous at first, they can be quite defensive at first, and often it takes a few sessions, but that's the thing that really surprises you. When somebody who came without any experience, feeling they had no aptitude, I think if you supply the materials and the other people in the group are supportive, anybody can do it. I think it's like the view now that anybody can paint, anybody can sing, and often, well, a lot of us were at school, we were told we couldn't, we were chucked out of the school choir, whereas now the view is anybody can do this if you enable them in the right way, and I really do believe that, yeah.
Helen Bowden there, writing facilitator with Edinburgh's Southside Community Centre Writing Group, proving that there is lots of inspiration to be gained from even a very short foray out into the countryside.